Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Sunday, June 14th, 2026, and this is episode 426. We are looking back at the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, June 13th. And Sarah, I have to say, yesterday was an absolute earthquake in the tech world. The front page was completely dominated by one massive, unprecedented story.
It really was. We are going to spend a good chunk of today talking about the U.S. government's sudden directive to suspend access to Anthropic's Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models. And we will tie that right into another top story, revealing that Amazon CEO actually had talks with U.S. officials right before this crackdown happened.
We will also discuss a viral manifesto about why open source AI absolutely has to win in light of all this. Then we will pivot to a deeply concerning move by the Commerce Department to ban noise infusion in Census Bureau data, which has huge privacy implications. And finally, we will wrap up with a lighter but highly debated design piece on whether every single frame of a UI animation needs to be perfect.
Let us jump right into the deep end. The top story yesterday, with over 3,000 points, was Anthropic's official statement on the U.S. government directive to suspend access to Fable 5 and Mythos 5. Mike, this is just wild. The government used national security authorities and export controls to ban any foreign national from accessing these models. And because Anthropic cannot easily separate that out, they had to abruptly disable Fable 5 and Mythos 5 for all their customers globally.
Right. And what's crazy is the justification. Anthropic received this directive at 5:21 p.m. Eastern, and the government basically claimed they were aware of a method to jailbreak Fable 5. But Anthropic reviewed the so-called jailbreak, and they said it is incredibly minor. We are talking about asking the model to read a specific code base and fix software flaws. That's a capability that developers and cybersecurity defenders use every single day. Anthropic even pointed out that OpenAI's GPT 5.5 can do the exact same thing without any bypass.
Exactly. Anthropic is basically saying, look, perfect jailbreak resistance is impossible today. We use a defense in depth strategy, and holding us to a standard of zero vulnerabilities would essentially halt all new frontier model deployments across the entire industry. But the Hacker News comments on this were fascinating, because a lot of people pointed out the irony here. Anthropic and their CEO, Dario Amodei, have spent the last couple of years loudly warning everyone about the existential and national security risks of AI.
Yeah, a user named IvoryTMs had a great comment. They said, when you spend a lot of time telling people how dangerous your products are, people who have the power to keep dangerous products off the market might actually listen. They pointed out that this is not some 3D chess move by Anthropic. It looks more like a punitive move by the current political administration, which Anthropic unknowingly bolstered with their own doomsday rhetoric.
And that political angle is impossible to ignore, especially when you bring in the other huge story from yesterday, which is the Wall Street Journal report that Amazon CEO had talks with U.S. officials that triggered this exact crackdown. According to an Axios breakdown shared in the comments, the White House intends to generally regulate what they are calling Mythos-class models. An administration official basically said anything at the Mythos level or above needs to go through the administration to ensure national security.
Which is a terrifying precedent for the industry. A commenter named Software Doug pointed out that this is a terrible way to create AI regulations. Instead of predictable laws and regulatory bodies that let companies plan their investments, we are getting regulation by royal fiat. It is confusing, it is chaotic, and it destroys long-term planning. Another user noted that this opaque, arbitrary rulemaking just leaves massive room for corruption and extortion.
Some users were speculating that this is retaliation because Anthropic refused to use their models for autonomous warfare or spying. Others think it is market manipulation. But whatever the reason, slamming the brakes on a crowded freeway like this is causing a massive pileup. As one user put it, warning and advance notice are the difference between regulation and tyranny.
And it also ruins the user experience. A commenter named eSpeed mentioned that before the ban, they were testing Fable 5 because the older Opus 4.8 model had a terrible habit of creating backdoors and no-opping critical security code. But the safety filters kept downgrading their session back to Opus 4.8 anyway, so Anthropic was forcing users back to a model that creates security holes in the name of safety. The whole situation is just a mess.
It really is. And this entire fiasco perfectly sets up our next story, which hit over 1,500 points. It is a manifesto by Ahmad Osman, simply titled,
open source AI must win. The core argument is that if intelligence becomes something we can only rent from a few closed institutions, we do not just lose software freedom, we lose operational freedom.
Right. Osman writes that AI is civilizational infrastructure. Access cannot depend on closed APIs, shifting terms, or the whims of a handful of companies, or, as we just saw, arbitrary government bans. The ability to run, inspect, and modify intelligence systems without asking permission is an existential necessity.
The Hacker News community overwhelmingly agreed with the sentiment, but the comments quickly turned into a deep technical debate about whether true open source AI at the frontier level is even physically possible right now. A user named Palisade brought up the idea of a decentralized model training system, kind of like SETI at home, using volunteer GPUs from around the world.
But the reality check came fast. A user named Shu pointed out that AI hardware is not just faster than consumer GPUs, it is incredibly more power efficient and has massively better connectivity. If you tried to harness every public GPU on Earth, the latency over the regular internet would slow the training down by factors of thousands to millions. As another user explained, inference can use consumer GPUs, but training a frontier model requires superpods where the interconnect bandwidth is the main bottleneck. You are literally up against the speed of light and the laws of physics.
Still, some commenters pushed back, bringing up recent research like DLOCO and Intellect models that show decentralized training might be more feasible than we thought, because compute needs scale as the square of parameter count, but communication scales linearly. The overhead penalty actually goes down as you scale up. But even then, marshaling enough compute to match a Microsoft or an Amazon is a monumental task. The consensus seems to be that we might have to rely on open-source federations doing minimal continuous training, rather than trying to train a Mythos-level model from scratch on consumer hardware.
It is a daunting technical challenge, but given what happened with Anthropic yesterday, the motivation to figure it out has literally never been higher.
Absolutely. Let us shift gears to our third story, which is also about government policy, but this time regarding data privacy. Ted Desfontaines wrote a blog post that got nearly 800 points, discussing a new order from the U.S. Department of Commerce that bans noise infusion from all statistical products published by the Census Bureau and the Bureau of Economic Analysis.
For context, statistical products are the numbers the government publishes based on secret, confidential datasets like the U.S. Census. To protect individual privacy, scientists use a field called disclosure avoidance. For the 2020 census, they adopted differential privacy, which involves injecting carefully calibrated noise, or random numbers, into the statistics. This ensures the data is useful in aggregate, but you cannot reverse engineer it to identify a specific person.
But now, the administration has banned this technique. Ted points out that this is going to be a disaster. Future statistical releases will either be completely useless because they will have to suppress or coarsen the data so much to protect privacy, or they will be incredibly unsafe and vulnerable to privacy attacks.
The Hacker News comments on this were pretty bleak. A user named Cageman, who worked as an enumerator for the last census, talked about how hard it was to build trust with people when collecting sensitive data. They said they genuinely believed the data would be handled responsibly, and now they feel terrible for the people who will go door to door in 2030, knowing the firewalls against weaponizing this data have been torn down.
And why would the government do this? Ted's blog and the HN commenter suggest a few dark reasons. Demographers and political operatives have openly admitted to using past census data to reconstruct individual records for gerrymandering efforts. Differential privacy stopped them from doing that because the noise made solving those equations impossible. By banning noise infusion, it makes those privacy attacks trivial again.
Another theory is that they want to force the census to publish less useful demographic data overall, which prevents researchers from showing unfair disparities among minority populations. A user named NXObject pointed out that census data is the baseline for virtually all survey research in America. If small communities lose trust in the privacy of the census, everyone from national newspapers to rural counties loses out. It is a massive blow to institutional trust.
It is a heavy topic, and it really shows how mathematical concepts like differential privacy can become highly politicized.
Let us wrap up today with something a bit lighter, focusing on UI and design. Nikki Tonsky wrote a post called Every Frame Perfect, which got over 600 points. Tonsky quotes a stated goal of the Linux display server Wayland, which is that every frame is perfect, and argues we should apply this to user interfaces.
The rule of thumb Tonsky proposes is that if you take a screenshot of your app at any given millisecond, it must make sense. He shows a bunch of examples where animations look incredibly janky if you slow them down. For instance, in Safari, the placeholder text moves from the center, but the cursor animates from the left, making them look out of sync. Or in Apple Photos, when you switch to crop mode, the picture snaps instantly, but the crop border animates, giving a false feeling of a state change.
Tonski argues that these imperfect frames break user trust, but the Hacker News comments push back on this premise pretty hard. A user named Fastic made a great point comparing UI to computer graphics in film. In film, a fast-tracking shot looks terrible on an individual frame because of motion blur, but it looks perfect in motion. Our human visual system perceives moving things differently than still things.
I loved that counter-argument. Another commenter who works in video and 3D technology agreed, saying that adding the correct blur to motion makes it appear clearer to the human eye, even if a frozen still looks like a mess. Evaluating motion-blurred stills for clarity is just fundamentally incorrect.
The discussion also pivoted to whether we even need all these animations. A senior product owner in the comments told a funny story about a designer who was upset that an animation was too fast for users to appreciate the beautiful S-curve ease-in effect. The product owner had to explain that if a simple state change animation is slow enough to be consciously appreciated, it has failed its purpose.
That is so true. A 50 to 100 millisecond animation is usually plenty to keep a UI feeling snappy. When technology outsmarts the programmer, as Tonski puts it, you end up with UI that feels like an animated toy rather than a precise instrument. It was a great debate between the pursuit of pixel-perfect states versus the cognitive reality of how humans perceive motion.
Definitely a fun read if you're into front-end development or design. And that is going to do it for us today. What an episode. From the government shutting down frontier AI models to the battle for open source, the politicization of census math, and the philosophy of UI animations.
It is never a dull day on Hacker News. Thank you so much for listening to HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or colleague. We will be back tomorrow to cover whatever wild stories break next. Until then, I'm Sarah.
And I am Mike. Have a great day and keep building.